Hey everyone, this is Jamie Bateman. Real quickly, I wanted to share with you something that's been pivotal in the growth and success of my businesses, and that is my partnership with Haven Financial Services. I've been working with Haven for over a year now. Christine Valdez was on episode 70 of this podcast, so go check that out if you want to hear her story. It was a fantastic personal story for sure, but Haven has been awesome. They provide me with monthly reports that are super clear and discernible, and that provides me with clarity and focus so that I can do what I do best, which is running my businesses, not preparing financial reports. Again, if you're in the market for a top-notch financial service company, or if you just want to check one out, go to www.jamiebateman/haven and check out Haven Financial Services. Again, that's jamiebateman/haven. Can't recommend them enough. Christine and her team have been fantastic. So I definitely recommend you check out Haven Financial Services at www.jamiebateman/haven. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome to another amazing episode of Raising Private Money. I'm your host, Jay Connor, also known as the Private Money Authority. This is the podcast where we talk about how to raise private money for your real estate deals without ever having to ask for money. And if you're listening to this show and you're interested in just being a passive investor, interested in being a private lender yourself, we'll be speaking with you as well. Well, my special guest today has already raised over $3 million in private money, and he's got a very, very interesting background. So he left his W-2 job some time ago to actually fully commit to this entrepreneurial journey, which is focused on empowering others, teaching others, inspiring others, such as yourself, in mortgage note investment. So if you've never heard about investing in mortgage notes, we're going to talk about that. If you've already been investing in mortgage notes and you'd like to raise more private money for investing in mortgage notes, we're going to talk about that as well. Well, in addition to that, my guest has built really an impressive portfolio of single family rental properties, and as I just said, mortgage notes as well. He's operated multiple successful mortgage note funds. He's got a couple of funds going on right now. And in addition to that, he's helped numerous investors navigate the market and really achieve amazing returns. Now, I was a guest on his podcast, which is called From Adversity to Abundance. That's an amazing podcast, and you'll want to check out that as well. On his podcast, he actually shares really valuable insights and highlights the stories and the quote-unquote mental fitness tips of successful real estate entrepreneurs that inspires others on their path to financial abundance. In just a moment, you're going to meet my very, very special guest, Mr. Jamie Bateman, right after this.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Jamie Bateman, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Jay. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely. Well, I really enjoyed being a guest on your podcast, From Adversity to Abundance. That was fantastic. So I knew after being a guest on your podcast, I for sure wanted to have you over here on Raising Private Money, because you've raised millions of dollars in private money. You show other real estate investors how to raise private money for mortgage note investing. And you've got opportunities as well for passive investors that just want to sit back and get high rates of return. So before we dig into all that, what motivated you to leave your W-2 job, and what was that? And why real estate investing?
Yeah. I think what motivated me was having to control and flexibility, like all many entrepreneurs envision and want, and many people, many W-2 employees want that as well. I think I was really getting tired of the Groundhog Day of over and over and over, commuting to my 9 to 5, and just felt like I might get a little promotion or bump in pay, but was really just a number at a large organization. I worked for the Department of Defense. I had served in the U.S. military, and so it was a natural transition, excuse me. And worked there for 14 years, and it was a good job, and I felt like it served a good purpose and everything. But I just got so tired of just being a number, and really just wanted that control and the freedom that entrepreneurship offers. And so why real estate was because I did have a background in title work. I started to, during my commute, listen to a lot of real estate podcasts and use that time to kind of gain knowledge and inspiration. And I started to realize who's in my corner, who's on my team. Well, I've got, my father has been a real estate agent for decades. My brother was a loan officer. I had worked at a title company previously. And so I just started to realize real estate is kind of the niche. Residential real estate in particular is the niche that I understood. And so you point to your strengths and your network and you rely on that. And so it was a natural fit to move into initially rental property investing, where we were doing the BRRRR method, where you'd buy and rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. I think that's what it is. And then my wife and I actually built out that single family residential portfolio. And then in 2018, I really switched my focus over to mortgage notes, and currently do both, but really mortgage notes is 95% of my professional focus.
Now, Jamie, did I just hear you say you worked for the Department of Defense for 13 years?
14. Yep.
14 years. All right. I'm going to ask you a question, very relevant question.
Okay.
That I believe you're going to have a very strong opinion on. Here's the question. Does our government know what's going on with all those drones?
Let me just answer that by saying, when people have these conspiracy theories, I tend to get off the conspiracy theory train, only because I've seen a decent amount of incompetence and I'm not sure that the government could pull off anything too coordinated. I don't have any really up-to-date relevant information on the drones, but it's a little scary, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, my prediction is, and of course, what I'm getting ready to say is on time, date, stamp this podcast, but that's okay. My best guess is, with all the scuttlebutt and all the buzz that's going on about these drones that are flying around, I think the cat's going to get out of the bag here within the next couple or few weeks.
I mean, usually where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Exactly. Well, anyway, I digress, but you said you worked for the Department of Defense. I had correct. To ask the question.
Yeah.
So let's talk about private money. So first, let's talk to the segment of our audience that are real estate investors looking to raise private money. What was it that came along in your investing career that caused you to be motivated to start raising private money?
The reality is, I think similar to really any other investor, if you're trying to scale your business, you run out of your own capital, or at least the amount of capital that you have set aside to put into a particular deal. So in my case, I had, through mortgage notes, I'd done deals on my own with my own capital initially, purchased, I don't know how many, a handful of mortgage notes initially, understood the concept. But then again, you run out of your own capital that you can put to work. So if I wanted to scale the business, I needed to access other people's money. Mm-hmm. And the way that I typically frame this, and I didn't come up with this by any means, but for a mortgage note business, and I would say the same is true for any kind of real estate investing business, it really comes down to three legs of the stool. One is finding those deals, finding the assets, and in our case, those are mortgage notes that we buy. Two is managing those notes, and three is raising capital. So you could then put as a 2B maybe managing the capital, but raising capital is a really important leg of the stool, and you're not going to be able to scale your business without access to capital, and oftentimes that's private money.
So when you started raising private money, private capital, how did you start out doing it?
Yeah. Specifically in my case, and it's interesting because I know the episode that you were on my show, Jay, was entitled Desperation Has a Smell, The Psychology of Raising Private Money. And that was my biggest takeaway from our episode was you saying that. And it actually rings true. I didn't know I was approaching it in that way, but in hindsight, I was. So in my first, the first time that I raised private money was for a non-performing mortgage note, but I didn't have the deal. You know, I wasn't ready to close. I didn't have pressure where I needed the capital immediately and needed some private loan, you know, by Friday to close on the deal. I actually was just documenting my progress as a note investor and documenting my journey. I would publish blog posts on LinkedIn and other places on social media, on my website. And I was learning, so I figured I would document things. Well, what ended up happening was an old friend of mine who I played lacrosse with in college, he apparently had been following what I was doing and got very interested. He's a finance guy, knows different types of investments and asset classes. And he actually reached out to me and said, "Hey, I want to get in on this mortgage note thing, you know, but I don't have time. I've got a career and a family. How do we work together?" So I wasn't desperate. He reached out to me. And so we talked about, okay, how much do you have to invest? And I went out looking for deals for us. So, and we ended up buying a deal together, and actually it did turn out to be quite profitable for both of us.
So let's unpack what you just shared, because what you just shared, there's a lot to unpack. You got your first private lender or investor without asking for any money.
Yes.
By the way, this is the show where we talk about raising private money without asking for money. So you attracted that private lender or investor by simply starting to share on social media, documenting what you were doing. You've got a connection that is now following you, reading about what you're doing. They're interested. They reach out to you. And it's all because you're just simply sharing, you know, what you're doing. So have you continued to do that since that very first person reached out to you?
Yes.
And do you still have people reaching out to you the same way just because you're sharing what you're doing?
Yes. The way that we approach things has certainly evolved. And for example, I was in the initial stages doing really just deal level joint ventures. So briefly, what that would look like is I'd have a capital partner, and I was the day-to-day manager of the assets. So the capital partner would bring the funds and I would go looking for the deal, or maybe the deal would arrive first, but oftentimes the money was there first, and then we'd buy oftentimes a non-performing note. And so just the two of us were the joint venture partners on this deal. Since then, I've kind of moved on to different types of raising private capital. One is selling partial notes or doing hypothecations. And we could do a whole podcast just on hypothecations. And then now, like you mentioned earlier in the intro, Jay, I have two mortgage note funds that I manage. And that's another way of raising private capital. What I've found in my business is, from an accounting standpoint, scaling, doing joint ventures, deal level joint ventures, and scaling your business, at least on the mortgage note side, created such a nightmare from an accounting perspective. It was just a lot of work each month to reconcile the books, etc. So I found that going to the fund model actually was a lot more simple and easier, a lot easier from a bookkeeping standpoint. But to answer your question more directly, absolutely. We still document what we're doing. We still do a lot of social media posting. And I get a lot of people investing in my fund without, I mean, it's a 506C, so I can talk about the fund, I can advertise it, et cetera. And these are for accredited investors. People that I've never heard of, don't know where they're coming from specifically. I mean, we do our best to track that, but it's all because we've got our name out there and I have my own podcast and et cetera. And so ultimately what they're investing in is me, right? They're trusting me, the operator, to put their capital to work and make good decisions. So I think, you know, building that long-term trust is very important. So yes, things have evolved, but I still have people reaching out and placing capital with me, to this day. So absolutely.
So for someone listening to this show that's never raised private money, private capital for real estate or notes or whatever, what advice could you give them on how to start? And secondly, what mistakes to avoid?
How to start? I mean, I would say look for other people who are doing it and copy them. And I don't mean that in a steal, you know, someone's, you know, proprietary system from that viewpoint, but other people are doing this successfully. So you don't need to be the first person to have ever raised private money or ever done a real estate deal. And you know, what mistakes to avoid? I would say, make sure you understand, don't push the fake it till you make it too far. There's a fine line there, Jay, between getting out of your comfort zone and pushing yourself. That's on one side. And then on the other side of the fine line is being dishonest and telling people you've done all these deals and really faking it till you make it and lying to your investors. Oh, no, I've done this many times. Just be honest. You know, one of the things that can help with that, another tip, is to align yourself. I guess I'm combining the two tips really, but align yourself with someone who has more experience than you. So in my case, for my first fund, it was our mortgage non-performing note fund, which is winding down. I started that fund with a peer of mine. His name's Chris Seveny. He was a mentor and still is. And he had run six or seven funds by that point. Well, not only am I learning from him on a day-to-day basis, but I'm also using his credibility and, you know, through his association with me, that gives me credibility. And so that's a way to kind of get started, in an honest way, without getting too far over your skis, so to speak.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Jamie. I advise people all the time, don't make the mistake I did. I started investing in single family houses in 2003. I've rehabbed, or my team has rehabbed, more than 500 houses in my career since 2003. But don't make the mistake I did. For goodness sakes, the first 6 years I was out here on an island by myself, figuratively speaking, and I was just relying on my experience from my previous manufactured housing corporate career and reading books. Well, you know, you're going to pay for your education one way or the other. And the most expensive way to pay for your education is making stupid mistakes that you didn't know was even a mistake at the time that you were making it. So as you say, align yourself with someone who knows what they're doing. And one of your expertise is raising private money for mortgage notes specifically. So I got to ask you this question. There's all kinds of real estate asset classes. I mean, there's land, there's self-storage, there's multifamily, there's commercial, there's single family. And then an asset class is mortgage notes.
Yeah.
Why mortgage notes?
It's a great question. And you know, I am not somebody who acts like, you know, you'll see some of these, what I'll call gurus, touting mortgage notes as the end all be all or whatever asset class they're focused on. But in my case, mortgage notes. Mortgage notes have pros and cons just like any other asset class. Frankly, there are no real inherent tax advantages to investing in mortgage notes. Now, there are ways to mitigate that and get around that, like using self-directed IRAs and other self-directed accounts. But there are downsides to mortgage notes. The upsides that drew me to it, to that particular asset class, were you can do it from anywhere. So I don't need to go to the property. Now, I understand you can do certain other real estate investing from a distance as well, but we're not in the business of doing rehabs. And, you know, I've done one long distance rehab. I would not recommend that necessarily. Although it was profitable for me in that case, but mortgage notes you can do from anywhere. So I can invest across the country in all 50 states, as long as I have a laptop and a phone. Really, it's location independent. The barrier to entry is fairly low. I'm not saying that everyone should just jump into mortgage notes because there is a lot to learn, but there aren't a ton of, you know, compliance hurdles or licensing hurdles as long as you're using a licensed loan servicer. And so those are two big ones, is the location independence and the low barrier to entry. And I guess the third one I'll throw in is that I was already very familiar with residential real estate investing, like we talked about. So I felt like this was almost the other half of the circle, so to speak, in the residential space. Now I kind of feel like I have, it's really just one big circle. You know, you can buy a property a pre-REO and end up with the property, and then you could sell the property on terms, and then you become a lender. You can sell that loan. But it's all kind of part of the same circle. So now I feel like I have tools that I can kind of plug and play depending on market conditions and whatever's needed at that time. So why mortgage notes for me were those particular reasons. We see people coming into the mortgage note space from a lot of different backgrounds. I deal with people who are more of the engineer type, who love to crunch numbers, or more of the real estate investor, the traditional real estate investor, who's familiar with the property itself. And then we have more like finance people, mortgage lenders and finance, professionals who come over, and certainly plenty of other types of people with other backgrounds as well. At the risk of rambling on, the other thing I love about it is it allows you to be both creative and kind of that math and science person. So there are a lot of strategies that creativity really is required, because each mortgage note has a story. There's a borrower behind the mortgage note, and that borrower has a story. And so you can crunch numbers all day long on a spreadsheet, and that's important. But there's also the human element. And so there's kind of an art and a science to being a successful mortgage note investor. And I love that kind of that variety of in skill set and variety in, you know, you don't know how each asset is going to unfold. So it's intriguing in that way.
So let's talk about, Jamie, how it is that private money works logistically with funding, investing in mortgage notes. So sure. Let me start it out this way. And let's contrast how to use private money for funding into mortgage notes versus, say, single family houses. So with a single family house, the way I use private money and take care of my private lenders is I have a private lender or a couple of private lenders will fund a single family property. And to protect that private lender, they're going to get a promissory note. So we're laying out the terms. What's the length of the note? What's the interest rate? What's the frequency of payments they're going to receive? And then how do I mitigate the risk and protect my private lenders? Well, I don't borrow unsecured. I give them a deed of trust. Most of the people call it a mortgage, but in North Carolina, the note is collateralized by a deed of trust, which gives the private lender the legal right to foreclose if I don't pay them. I also name them on the insurance policy as the mortgagee, So if there's a claim against that property, an insurance claim, the insurance company makes the check payable to the private lender and to my company. They got to sign off on that. Maximum loan to value is 75% of the after repaired value. So it's a conservative note to value. I give them a 90-day call option. They can call the note due early if they've got an emergency. So that's just some ways that, private money works, say, with single family houses in my world. What are the logistics? How does private money work with mortgage notes?
To be honest, it's not that much different. And I think the closest example is the hypothecation example. So in a similar way that you're the property itself is the collateral in your case. In my case, if I'm borrowing money from a private lender, the note itself is the collateral. So you could say the note and the deed of trust are the collateral that you referred to. So the private lender to me, lending me capital, is actually one step further from that property. But the note that I own, and it gets a little bit complicated if you're not, if you're completely unfamiliar with buying mortgage notes, but the note and deed of trust that I own, is the collateral for that loan. And so it may take a little bit longer to get to that property for that the private lender, but there we write into the agreement, an example would be I would go out and buy a mortgage note with my own capital, say for $50,000. Maybe the principal balance of the mortgage note is $70,000. I buy it for $50,000. I want to sell, I want to use that note as collateral to borrow $30,000 from a private lender. The note itself is now the collateral. So I'm borrowing $30,000 from a private lender, and those terms can be really whatever we, the private lender and I, come to an agreement, how whatever we agree upon. And so oftentimes hypothecating is a great way, and it's very similar to what you're referring to with hard real estate, a great way of expanding your note buying business. Yet from the private lender standpoint, it's pretty, nothing has no risk in this space, but it's fairly low risk because they're putting in $30,000 and their collateral is a note that has a $70,000 principal balance, and likely the property itself has a $100,000 value. So there's some backing there. And what's really nice is it's really just a loan. So meaning we can spell out the term. It may be a 3-year loan, a 4-year loan, 5-year loan. And so there's flexibility on the front end for the private lender and me as the borrower to agree to those to terms that are mutually beneficial.
Excellent. Thanks for the explanation. Now, in addition to that, do you have an opportunity now for people that are listening to passive investor with you to where they can just earn high rates of return?
We do. For the passive investor, we have the Integrity Income Fund, and that is for accredited investors only, just to be clear. And that fund pays, we target an 8% annual preferred return for any investment under $100,000 and a 10% targeted annual preferred return for those investments above $100,000. We distribute monthly, so we've never missed a distribution in the 2.5 years that the fund has been operating. And another highlight of our fund, the Integrity Income Fund, is that it has only a 12-month lockup period. Most mortgage note funds you'll find have at least a 3-year term. So you put your capital in and you can't get it out without some kind of hardship reason for less for within the first 3 years. In our case, you put your capital in, you're committed for 1 year. If you need to redeem, that's not a problem. You can get your money back after that 1 year. So the Integrity Income Fund is the opportunity that we have for passive investors, for accredited passive investors. We do have some other passive opportunities for non-accredited investors, but the Integrity Income Fund is our primary focus for passive investors.
All right. And how do people reach out to you, and how do they learn more about these opportunities?
Yeah, thank you, Jay. LabradorLending.com, LabradorLending.com lending.com is our primary, my primary website for our mortgage note business. So all the mortgage note information, including what I just spoke about, can be found there. Also, my podcast, From Adversity to Abundance, has a separate website, adversitytoabundance.com. It's the number two, as you can see there. And then lastly, I'll just throw out my email address. And I apologize if you don't have this here on the screen, but BatemanJames@LabradorLending.com. So LabradorLending.com is home base. If you only take one thing away, that's the site to go to.
All right. If you're listening to this show, looking for some high rates of return, and you like what you're hearing here from my friend Jamie Bateman on the show, be sure and visit him at www.LabradorLending, that's LabradorLending, LabradorLending.com. And Jamie, we'll have all your contact information in the show notes. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me here on the show.
This has been fantastic, Jay. I knew it would be a lot of fun, and I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate you too, Jamie. And there you have it, another amazing episode of Raising Private Money. I really appreciate you being here and tuning in. If you happen to be listening on one of your favorite podcast platforms, be sure and follow me so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. I really appreciate the 5-star ratings and the reviews as well. That allows me to have more amazing guests like Jamie that we just had on the show. And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe and ring that bell so you also get notified of the upcoming episodes. I look forward to seeing you right here on the next episode of Raising Private Money.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hey there, it's Jamie Bateman. Ever felt boxed in by life's challenges? Dive into my new book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation, available now on Amazon. From a former bank robber's redemption to a young entrepreneur's victory over hurdles, these stories are not just inspiration. They're the roadmaps to your transformation. Whether for you or as a powerful gift to friends and family, especially those who might not tune into podcasts, this book is a beacon to a life of abundance. Ignite that inner fire and set your course to the life you've imagined. Purchase yours today on Amazon and light the path for someone you love.